Hi, I'm Typhoon Elmas, and I'm coming from the PowerLab, Berkeley. And in our group in PowerLab, we are basically working on developing techniques and tools to help programmers to test their concurrent programs in a better way. So the testing is kind of the most used technique for, still the most used technique for reasoning about programs, but testing for concurrency is not as effective as it is for sequential programs. So for this, so in this talk, I'll give you some motivation about why this is so, and for this, we are kind of proposing a domain-specific language to help programmers to write concurrent tests, and I will tell you why we need such a language and how the programmer can use it to make the testing effective. So in order to do that, I'm going to give you some case study. So suppose that you want to write an XUnit-like unit test for a concurrent program. Let's say we take the Mozilla Spider-Monkey JavaScript engine, it's a large program, and you want to test two methods, new context and destroy context. Even if these two methods are not talking about how to call JavaScript code, these are just initializing the context, but it's still 2,000 lines of code, okay? But before that, let me give you some idea about how we test sequential programs. So for example, in the sequential case, we know how to do this. Like, we call these methods with some fixed arguments and check if there is any assertion violation, right? And because we here fix the arguments, like in here, this test is deterministic, which means if there is a bug in the program, whenever we run the program, we will see the bug. And determinism is a very desired property for testing because if you fix the code, how you are gonna know that you fixed the code when you run the test again? But you lose this property when you are coming to concurrency. Let's say we run the same code with 10 threads, okay? Here, the fixing the input is not enough to make deterministic because there's another source of non-determinism, thread schedules, okay? So in order to fix the arguments, the program should also fix some schedule that will be followed whenever you run the program. But unfortunately, specifying a thread schedule, especially for a large program, and controlling the program to follow that schedule is not easy. And we would like to help the programmer to do that. But before that, let's see what programs do in practice. The first thing is stress testing. What do programs do? They run the program 1,000 times with more threads. Maybe they run it for days, but here there's no control on the schedule, so you are kind of giving the program to the hands of the god and praying that you will see some interesting schedule. The other extreme case is model checking. Here you have the full control of the program, and you enumerate all possible test schedules. But for a large program, model checking, also enumerating all possible schedules may take weeks or even years because of the state explosion problem. So here in this picture, what's missing is there's no control, program has no control over the test schedules. In one end, in stress testing, there's no control at all. In model checking, there's still no control because you are looking at all schedules. But we know that having the control to the programmer is essential to make the testing more efficient and effective because we know that programmers have some insights and ideas about what kind of schedules to look at. For example, if you look at a bug schedule, bug report, you can see that the programmers know, describe some kind of thread schedule that believe that that will manifest the bug. For example, here the programmer gives the exact schedule, but in some cases, the programmer doesn't know anything about what's going on. But some ideas that he says suspect that one thread is calling GC and the other is end request and query context and they're accessing this ACX thread variable. But he doesn't know the rest of the schedule. But he knows some idea about what kind of functions to call. And in another case, it's a more complicated one. He has some knowledge about some part of the schedule, which is fixed. But after that, some point, he doesn't know what will going on. But he knows that if I bring the program until this state, and I will leave these two threads by their own, if I look at some schedule, it's high likely that I will see the bug. So what we want is basically, I kind of lied that there's no tool for the programmer, but there's kind of sleep statements or some concurrent predicates. But sleeps, they're lightweight and they're very convenient for the programmer, but they're kind of ad hoc, like amateurish, because for a large complex schedule, it might not be very, it might not easy to use only sleep statements to realize that. So what we want is we want to find some kind of a formal and more reliable way to describe the schedule. So let's say, before going out our proposal, let's consider this bug. This is from a RadBand suite, and it's a real bug, and it's caused by exactly the same code that I showed you before. If you run this code with 100 tests, you will see an assertion failure. Okay? In the same bug report, we see, there's some stack traces. Some programmer gives some stack traces that says, I also saw the same bug, and here's the stack trace, but I don't know what's going on. And some other programmer comes in, and he says, at least one problem I can see if I look at the code is that there's something going on, and he describes some set of test schedules. Some part of it is fixed, but some part of it is unknown. And what we want to know is we want the programmer to describe this schedule in a formal way and systematically look at all the test schedules that the programmer wants to look at in a systematic way. So here's what concurrent is about. It's kind of, so here we have some insights, ideas about test schedules given in the bug report, and we have software under test. And what we want is we want to give the programmer some kind of a DSL, domain-specific language, using which the programmer can describe a set of schedules that should be followed when you run the software under test. And we are kind of decoupling the software under test from the concurrent DSL, and I will tell you why we are doing this later. And what we want to do is, given these two, software under test and the DSL, we want to systematically explore all the test schedules, which is specified in the DSL. Okay. And now I will show you how we do this. Let's say we have the software under test, and we have the test written in the concurrent DSL. I will tell you some code examples later. Okay. And we run them for unit testing. We run them within the same address space. Okay. And we need some mechanism here to make them communicate with each other so that our DSL will control the execution of the software under test. For this, what we do is we instrument the software under test. For now, we support binary instrumentation using PIN, but it's also possible that you can use a library to manually instrument the program because you may want to only look at particular points in the program. Okay? And what happens is during the execution software under test, sends events to the DSL when it is about to do something, like writing a memory, calling a function, or doing a particular user-defined thing. And when it sends an event, it starts blocking. It waits for the DSL. And DSL collects all these events, and depending on the program that you write, decides on which thread to unblock and let it go. Okay? And this is the basic communication between software under test and DSL. And the program that you write in the DSL basically works on these events, saying at which point, which kind of events should be enabled. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I showed you one bug and some bug scenario that the programmer describes. And I will introduce our DSL in three steps. First, I will show you how to write simple schedules. For example, suppose that I'm not sure whether the bug is a concurrency bug. I want to first test that if I run each test, for example, sequentially, will I still see the bug? And this is the simple schedule, and we can write it in our DSL. And then I will look at all schedules, because in our DSL, you can also describe a standard model checking algorithm. But both of them will not work, because the first one will only have few schedules, but it will not manifest the bug. You will not see the bug, because it's a concurrency bug. In the other case, you will explore all the schedule and see the bug, but there will be a lot of executions to look at. Whenever you run the test, you need to see, again, the same set of executions. It's too costly. Now, then I will show you how we use some hits from the bug report to define our test so that we will still see the bug, but in a few executions. So as you see here, it's kind of a one-time process. Another meta process where you start from a test and you try something and then you refine the test to come to some point where by looking at only few executions, you'll discover the bug. Okay, so for now, I will only use one hint from the bug report, which is the programmer says there will be two threads, A, B, and C. The programmer conjectures that by running two threads, I will see the bug. Okay? And again, these threads are running this code. Okay? So by writing the test, we will basically try to control these three threads running this code. But actually, this code is not important. So the important thing is how we write it. So again, my first goal is to check whether this is a concurrency bug. What I want to do is I want to run each thread until completion before interleaving it with other threads. So I want to run each thread until completion. And this is kind of the pseudocode version of RDSL. I don't show the exact syntax. There's some minor details, but it will look like the same code. Okay. So what this is saying? For example, we know that we will be needing three threads, right? And this is saying that I want to wait for three distinct threads to send the events to me. Whenever these three distinct threads send the events, they will be blocked and start waiting for me. Okay? And this basically blocks until three different threads send events to me. And then I go into a loop, and that loop iterates until three of them ends. So what I do, at each iteration, I select one of these threads and bind its thread ID to T. And then, but up to this point, these threads are still waiting for me because I only bind the identifiers to TA, TB, and TC, but I'm not running them. Now I say run T until complete. What does it do? It allows one of the threads, which is selected at line 3, to run until its completion. And this completion I know because it sends an event when it completes to me. And meanwhile, the other events that T sends are just ignored because I know I will only consider the completion event. Okay? And on this side, you basically see what's going on. So I select TA and run it until completion. And then I go back and take another thread, that's TC, and run it until completion. And then I take TB because it's the only one remaining, and I run it until completion. So at this point, the execution ends. And this is actually the only execution, only schedule that this test will generate because I'm not talking, at this point, I'm not talking about looking at different schedules. And if you want to look at different schedules, you need to express it explicitly. And I will do it by changing line 3. So line 3, I will say backtrack here, which means whenever some execution ends, return back, backtrack, and take another choice at line 3. Without that, it will only consider one execution. So there's some difference between exist kind of execution and for all kinds of execution. So without backtrack, I basically look at only one execution. And by saying backtrack here, I say that these are the different choices you need to take. And if I do this, it will backtrack, restart the execution of the system under test, and it will follow another schedule. So here, it will take TB, TC, and TA. And it will backtrack again, and at the end, it will basically give me these three. And we know that there's six schedules, but none of them is manifesting the bug because it's a concurrency bug. But at least I know that this is about concurrency. I tried all possible sequential schedules. So what I want to do is, So basically, you can also, by changing only one line, 4, you can also make this schedule like this. Here, I'm not running each thread until completion, but until it returns from a function. Because it says run the selected thread until it returns from these functions. So in this way, I get more schedules, but it's still not manifesting the bug. Then it comes to the old schedules. Now I want to try all schedules. I'm not still looking at the bug report, but I want to try all schedules of three. So what do I do? This was the first test, which runs until completion. By doing a minor change, I can express this. But in line 4, I say, instead of until completion, I want to run it until next event. So what does it do? I have this kind of tree, which in which whenever a thread T observes an event, I will reschedule the threads. I will choose another thread. And here, I get kind of a large number of executions, but it manifests about after a night. But I cannot use it in my regression suite because whenever I run the test, I need to wait for one night. So I want to kind of refine this test so that I will look at only a small number of executions, but I will manifest the bug. And I can put it to a regression suite then. So at this point, I want to kind of distinguish it from traditional model checking, because this looks like I'm kind of doing model checking, because I'm rescheduling the test after each event. But it's not really, because first of all, we know that for a large program, we cannot control everything, because there will be things like other threads which you cannot instrument. There will be system calls. Suppose that the threads are synchronizing with each other using kernel calls, or the network message ordering. Because of this, basically, when you backtrack, for example, from an execution and try to do another exploration, the backtrack may fail, which means you may not explore the entire state space because of the uncontrolled non-determinism. But we know that, so in this case, basically, the robustness of your test, which means whenever you explore all these executions, it will at least give you an interesting execution, will depend on how you control the execution. Basically, it depends on what you define an event. Because if you give only a few events in the program, it will only synchronize them at these event boundaries, because we are basically not trying to serialize the entire execution. We are basically trying to serialize these events. So you can refine your test to add more control and more control and realize that whenever what it is sufficient to add more events or not. But we discovered that for most of the concurrence errors, it's possible to write robust tests by only controlling few operations. Because it's only a matter about giving the right control over a few operations. For example, in atomicity, you need to control a few operations so that two operations get into another one. So anyway, I will come to the second point later. So at this point, I looked at simple schedules and all schedules. Now I want to incorporate some information about the bug report into my test. So how to do that? And I will do it incrementally. For example, here I am reading it more. So it said there are three threads, and it says two of the threads cause destroy context, and one thread cause new context. So what it means, so basically it says thread C should start from here, but I don't want to look at operations, interleavings of A and B while they are running new context, but I'm interested in the case where A and B runs destroy context. So what I want to do is I want to let A and B I want to capture A and B while they are running destroy context. I don't care the interleavings while all of them are running new context. So for this, I change this code so that in line 1, 2, and 3, I said instead of waiting for a thread at the beginning, I want to wait thread until one of them calls new context and two of them calls destroy context. What it means that basically, before interleaving the threads, as in this loop, I will basically let them interleave with each other until TC calls new context, and TA and TB calls destroy context. And I don't care what is this interleaving, which means when it backtracks, it may follow another interleaving. The only thing that I want to explore is this, where after they start destroy context and new context. And then I need to look at distinct interleavings of these threads. And this is basically, and again, it gives me less number of schedules. I see the assertion failure after a few hours, but it's not necessary. I'll define it more. But this is the second difference from model checking. We kind of localize the search because we don't need to look at interleavings from the beginning. We only look at the interleavings after a particular state or while they are calling a particular function, because it's just fine because most of the concurrency errors, the precondition that, that this test start doesn't matter. The important thing is the ordering of these operations. Okay? And of course, you can, as I told you before, you can express the model checking algorithms in our language. You can, if you control everything. But it's only possible for small programs. For large programs, it's not feasible to control everything. So, and I continue more. For example, I see that the programmer talks about a few variables, three variables, saying that these, when they're interleaving, they touch these variables. So what I do, I interleave them. So this was the previous code. And I will change line 6 to say instead of running these threads until next event, I will run them until they touch these three variables. Okay? Because I don't want to interleave them while touching any variable. I'm only interested in these variables because I suspect that there's a data race on these variables. And what kind of tree I get is like this. So this was the before, and while generating this tree, I say that whenever you run the program, you run the thread, you need to run it until it reads from this variable. And then, so any interleaving will happen after a thread accesses these variables. Because I know that the data is about these variables. And at this point, I get 2,000 schedules, and I see the assertion failure after 2 hours, every 2 hours. Because I'm looking at less and less number of executions. And I'll only show you the final test. I'm not giving you the details. But as you see here, in the final test, basically, it concisely describes the steps of the thread schedule that the programmer wants to look at. For example, for the fixed known schedule, each step can be described in one line, like run this thread until it reads from this variable in this function. TB should run until completion after this point, and then TA should run until this point, and then I run, and up to this point, I know the fixed schedule. But after that, I don't know what will going on. But I suspect that if I interleave the test after this point, there should be something going on. And then I say, okay, after this point, I will interleave only TA and TC until they complete. And I will only interleave them when they access memory because it's about access, it's about the segmentation fault. So there will be some data is, and then it will appear when they access the memory. And so what I showed you is basically we have the So we have some insight in the bug report, and we provide a DSL to express all these insights in a concise and formal way. And this test basically generates the reproduces the bug in less than 30 executions. Now you can put this test along with the software on the test in your regression suite, and whenever you run the test, in 30 actually it's not more, most of the time in one on a few executions it will just show up. And then you can now put this in your regression suite, and when you fix the problem, you can retry this execution and see that if there's any more problem. So finally, we have some kind of prototype implementation of this language. We implemented it as a macro language, embedded DSL in C++ using some macros and templates. And it is open source. It can be accessed. And we applied it to known benchmarks with real and hand-inserted bugs. And for all of these benchmarks, we were able to reproduce the bugs by writing at most 20 lines of code. And for each of them, you can see the bug in at most 30 schedules. Okay, these include inspect, parsec, and ratbench. And we are still continuing to look at how to do tests for kind of server-side and browser-side programs, especially for integration tests, and I will show you. And of course, you can write various model checking algorithms in this language if you don't have any idea about what to look at. So you can basically describe exploring all schedules, or if you want to look at only two context-bounded schedules, you can also describe it without, I mean, if you don't have any intuition, you can try the default policies. Okay. So basically what we did was, so I talked about sleep statements, which were kind of ad hoc but convenient. And I also talked about model checking, which was kind of heavyweight but gives you a lot of guarantees. So what we want to do is basically we want to allow the programmer to explore this span, this spectrum in any point. For example, you can use Concurrent as a library. You can manually instrument your code, as in the case of for sleep statements, and you can explore different interleavings of these events. Okay, and it will be kind of a portable library. You don't have to instrument it because you will manually instrument it to look at different cases. And for a very large program, it may be doable. Or on the other hand, you can instrument everything in the program. You can have total control, and you can implement an existing model checking algorithm. And the final point I want to point out is, so I described unit testing case, but you can also use it for multi-process integration tests, where instead of controlling only the library, you can control multiple processes by within the same DSL. And this is the end of my talk.
Thank you.